With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should we do some vocal warm-ups?
Okay.
Do a vocal fry for me. No, neither of us know what that is.
That's vocal fry, isn't it? Hello. I hate vocal fry because my whole voice is vocal fry.
It's true, actually.
La 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 la.
That was really good.
Was it?
Yeah. Well done, babes. Shall we start?
Let's start.
Okay. You're listening to Be More Cleverer, a podcast in which we try and basically improve ourselves by having more knowledge to make us both more impressive in conversations and pub quizzes. This is episode 4 of season 2. I don't know why we're still talking about the whole season thing, but it feels like the right thing to say. And here's what happened last week. I am going to go with it's very sad to say this, one of the many legendary people that we've lost this year, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, cool.
I want to know where the phrase float like a butterfly, sting like a bee came from. I basically just want to know why, what point did he have that legend status?
Happen?
Like, how did it come to happen? Because
You
can be excellent at sport, but he really is hailed as the greatest.
I was dreading it a bit because it was a sport thing.
Yeah, and when we were deciding what to go, what I would give you, you did say, don't give me sport, and so I gave you sport. But, it's someone who, if we're thinking about people who've, like, legendary people who we've lost this year,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them, and I thought, it's true, though.
It's not, you're not wrong.
And he's a particular one where I thought I understood the legend status, but I didn't know if I really did. Like, I understand it and I respect it, but I don't know if I knew all about it. And I think a lot of people would be on that level as well.
Completely right. Completely right. What I knew, to put it really crassly, what I knew was that he was good at boxing.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know what I mean? And it's a really crass description, but I just... And there were certain phrases and terms and match titles that I knew of, but I didn't really know the whole story.
Yeah.
So this has really provided that.
It's before our time, isn't it?
Before our time.
Mm. Even yours. Sorry. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. So what have you got for me, dear?
Well, it feels like I've been doing this run, Katie. It's like I've been giving you some basic facts to start.
Basic.
Because I'm basic. Yep. I'll admit that. So I just want to talk to you. I'll give you some basic facts, but then I'm going to talk about Muhammad Ali becoming Muhammad Ali, because you may or may not know that that is not his actual name.
Didn't know that.
We'll talk. You wanted to know about float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
I did.
And actually, it could have gone either way there, but there's a really nice, interesting aspect of Muhammad Ali's life that I didn't know about, which I'll delve into. And I'll also talk about a few fights and a legacy, because like you said, he was one of the greats we lost this year, and there really is a legacy there. And reading up on a lot of his history, it dawned on me how big an influence this guy was.
Okay.
So let's get into it with the basic facts.
Well, that's what we want. We want it for it to dawn. We're waiting for the dawn.
Dawn's crack. So the facts. Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Clay Jr. in Louisville, Kentucky. The state of Kentucky enforced a code of racial segregation that prevented black people from using many of the same public facilities as their white neighbours. Okay. This, Katie, is important to know.
Okay.
At that time, in the 40s, 1947, the state of Kentucky enforced segregation laws.
Right.
When Cassius Clay was 12 years old, his parents bought him a bike for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That bike was stolen when he went to a fun fair.
Oh. He was 12?
He was 12. He went to the local fair on his bike, as you would.
Oh.
And he went to report the robbery to the local police station and came across a police officer called Joe Martin. Now, this next bit sounds like I've probably made it up, but it also sounds like the plot to, like, an 80s kids film.
Okay.
So, Joe Martin, the police officer, was a boxing instructor as well as a police officer, and Cassius Clay was so mad and like, I'm going to beat those guys up who stole my bike. Joe Martin suggested that he learned how to fight before dishing out those threats.
Right.
And he was a boxing instructor, so Martin became Cassius Clay's first trainer.
Really?
Cassius Clay was taught by the police officer he went to see and then won an array of titles in the amateur boxing world.
Does sound like a film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And not necessarily a good sort of realistic one.
Yeah, like under Joe Martin's guidance, you can picture the montage of like this kid like really like annoying and angry and he like learns to be, it's like the Karate Kid.
And then shout, kid,
hey,
quit
kid.
It.
Quit it, kid. You've got to learn. With great power becomes great responsibility.
And then he becomes Spider-Man.
And then Cassius... That's right, man.
That's a story. Spider-Man.
So fast forward to the age of 18. Cassius Clay qualified for the 1960 Olympics in Rome. I didn't know it was in Rome. I didn't know the 1960 Olympics was in Rome.
Write that down, everybody. 1960 Olympics were in Rome.
And he was very popular with the world media and with his athletes. And he won gold in the light heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got home, he was honoured in a victory parade around Louisville.
Oh.
But remembering what I told you, in Louisville, in the state of Kentucky, there were still segregation laws.
Right.
So he was refused service in a whites-only diner because even though he was an Olympic champion and well-revered, he wasn't allowed into any of like the fancy do's.
And this was in the early 60s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reading about it, it's still... Because you learn about it in school and you go, eh. Yeah, that was it.
Can't really visualise it, can you?
It's just so infuriating.
Mm.
I can't even. In 1964, 4 years after the Olympics, Cassius Clay was up against reigning world heavyweight champion Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston. Right, okay.
Sonny Liston was the 7-1 betting favourite over Clay, so I don't really know about bets, but I think he was the favourite.
That's good.
He was the favourite.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny was confident and his experience would be enough to defeat the youngster, the whippersnapper.
Mm-hmm.
The young buck.
Mm-hmm.
But that night, Cassius Clay was said to have used deft footwork and impressive hand speed to outpace his opponent.
Basically, he did really well.
He did very, very well.
Did very well.
After the sixth round, Sonny Liston retired the match and Cassius Clay had beaten all the odds to become the heavyweight champion of the world.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Woohoo.
So I've mentioned the importance of that kind of really harsh segregation Kentucky upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So speculation about Clay's religious beliefs and black power, black resistance, had been fueled by his relationship and friendship with black civil rights leader and Nation of Islam member Malcolm X.
Right.
Again, this is really stupid, but I didn't know that Malcolm X, I knew he was, a figure of... black resistance, but I didn't know he was a member of the Nation of Islam.
No, I didn't.
I didn't know that. So after defeating Liston, Clay publicly acknowledged that he was a member of this same religious movement.
Right.
And in the March of that year, he was given the name Muhammad Ali by his spiritual mentor, Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
That was controversial because the Nation of Islam supported the call for apartheid between different races.
Right.
So we're kind of going beyond black and white segregation. This was kind of all races should be separate. And they had a lot of odd and slightly left beliefs.
Yeah.
So, but as well as being controversial, Muhammad Ali was also seen as a huge symbol of black pride and kind of freedom. But more than freedom, this was kind of him saying black America has had enough of this ridiculous situation.
Yeah.
So, Katie, you wanted to know about float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yes.
As well as being heavyweight champion of the world, Muhammad Ali was also known as the Louisiana Lip.
Right.
The LL.
The LL.
He wrote poetry and used training and conferences to share his wise words.
Okay, so the lip thing was... Okay.
Yeah, he was a chatty Cathy.
Words,
he was a chatty Cathy.
Chatty Cathy.
Some criticised him for the simplicity and...
Basically the way you just phrased what you just said to me. Basically, they criticised him for his poor use of words.
Yes, like me. We're one in the same. But that is indeed where his famous phrase comes from. It was... Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see.
Right.
So it was just one of his little...
Ditties,
his wise cracks. But I wanted to play you a poem from Ali himself to get a greater understanding.
Play me a poem?
Yes.
You got some audio for me, darling.
So you can just get a greater understanding of what he wrote.
Okay.
And what he meant and what he was thinking. So it's called The Truth. And Katie, you are my truth.
You're my truth.
You're my truth, my darling truth.
I just wrote a poem the other day entitled Truth. It says, the face of truth is open, the eyes of truth are bright, the lips of truth are ever closed, the head of truth is upright, the breast of truth stands forward, the gaze of truth is straight. Truth has neither fear nor doubt, truth has patience to wait. The words of truth are touching, the voice of truth is deep, the law of truth is simple, all you sow you reap. The soul of truth is flaming, the heart of truth is warm, the mind of truth is clear and firm through rain and storm. Facts are only its shadow. Truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle of life. Truth in the end shall win. The image of truth is the cross. Wisdom's message is its rod. The sign of truth is Christ, and the soul of truth is God. Life of truth is eternal. Immortal is its past. Power of truth shall endure. Truth shall hold to the last. That's a...
Speak for yourself, hon.
That's a masterpiece. That, you know what? There's something about his voice that is so, like... That must be such a big part of why he's so legendary.
It's kind of engrossing,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's not just what he's saying, but he's a public speaker, isn't he? That's so, like, you're hooked on everything that he's saying. It's kind of hypnotising little bit.
Mm. Yeah, you're clinging to every word, right?
Absolutely.
So... let's delve back into Muhammad Ali.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Delving.
We're delving in. So as you know, Casey, as you might be aware, the US went to war with Vietnam.
Yes.
What I didn't know was that it was between 1954 and 1975, which is a really long time.
I didn't know it was that long, actually. I knew it was around, started around the 50s.
That's crazy and really long.
Yeah.
One day we might discuss Vietnam and its atrocities and its ridiculousness, but That's for another time.
Okay.
But Muhammad Ali, you might not have known, was expected to go to the army and join the army. He received a notice to draft him into the US Army.
Mm-hmm.
But he objected to serving in the military because of his beliefs.
I knew that he didn't do his national service, but I didn't really know, I didn't know why. So, because of his beliefs, it was a religious thing.
And then he also referenced here the mistreatment of black Americans, saying that he refused to cooperate with the US government for oppressing another race of people. Good for him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was stripped of his championship, which I can't believe.
Because he didn't...
Because he evaded his calling.
Okay.
And was fined $10,000 and sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Stop. I didn't know all of that.
He didn't serve any of that time and his conviction was overturned after appeal.
Okay, cause famous.
Cause famous.
Cause famous.
And at the time he said of this situation, "I will not disgrace my religion, my people or myself by becoming a tool to enslave those who are fighting for their own justice, freedom and equality." Katie, I want to talk to you about Rumble in the Jungle.
Rumble in the Jungle, hit me.
Which I thought
don't
was a...
literally hit me. Put the bags and gloves away.
They're in my bag. I thought that was a wrestling term off of the WWE.
WWE.
It was the WWF though, but they had a...
And the pandas.
And the pandas came.
Reclaimed it.
But Katie...
And the pandas came.
Then the pandas came. I don't know about you, Katie, my dear, but I only knew of this as a reference from like sport things. People just talk about it in sport. Mm-hmm. You know, Rumble in the Jungle. Like, whatever. People just say it.
I thought it was kind of like a phrase. Like
yes.
I didn't realize it was a thing.
It was. This was where it was coined, though.
Okay. Coined. That's like such a be more clever a word.
It is.
Let's
isn't
talk
it?
About where things were coined.
The Royal Mint. but this term was coined. I can't not say now. This became the term for the epic fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman off of the grill.
George Foreman off the grill.
Off of the
so
grill.
So proud of it. You put his name on it.
So, after all that drama with the government, Muhammad Ali returned to boxing in 1971.
Right.
And had suffered his first professional loss against Joe Frazier at Madison Square Garden in New York. That fight was known as the fight of the century due to the pair's immense rivalry away from the ring.
Away from the ring?
Away from the ring. Both Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were seen as symbols of opposing social and political beliefs within black society, but for different reasons.
Right, okay.
So Joe, I think Muhammad Ali thought that Joe Frazier was kind of white-loving, if that's
really?
I think so. Whereas Muhammad Ali was very extreme in his beliefs that...
So you're saying Muhammad Ali thought that? He wasn't necessarily... There was no more to it necessarily than that.
But there was a rivalry and the press picked up on it and...
Probably made it a million times more magnified.
Yeah, and Ali, being his outspoken self mm-hmm. of black self-realisation, dismissed Frazier in pre-fight interviews as Uncle Tom, which I think is basically a reference to Uncle Sam... And, like, the fact that he's following what the white American society... Mm. He's kind of, like, just a pawn in the American... Yeah, you know what I mean? So they didn't like each other, basically. But he had lost in that fight in 1971.
Who? Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
Okay.
So fast forward to 1974, and Ali had a chance to reclaim his title of heavyweight champion of the world.
This is, what, 3 years later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Against George Foreman, who was there. Who
George
was
Foreman.
George Foreman.
Georgie boy.
Ali entered the ring as 3-1 underdog.
Right.
But in front of 80,000 fans, he unveiled a new tactic, which was termed at the time, not good, but all the same, I like it, the rope-a-dope.
Pardon?
The rope-a-dope.
The rope-a-dope.
The rope-a-dope.
What's the rope-a-dope?
Leaning back against the ropes, Ali avoided most punches to the head and absorbed...
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. And absorbed all those punishing body blows before counter-attacking. So you kind of...
Oh, I feel like I see them do that on film sometimes.
Yeah.
Doesn't Homer Simpson do that?
He does. He does. Great great use. And then basically nothing's happening because the ropes are kind of taking your body weight. So you're not really feeling the...
They take the impact.
He avoided most of those punches. And then in the middle rounds, with George Foreman being tired, he kind of had the upper hand. Muhammad Ali took the upper hand.
Oh, it's kind of sly, isn't it?
It is sly.
Shady.
Shady bitch. And in round 8, Muhammad Ali launched a powerful combination that knocked the champion to the canvas, the floor.
The floor.
That's what we call the ring, actually. Katie, is the canvas.
The floor, yes. You in the game.
And this was like a massive deal. So much so that a BBC sports commentator at the time, Harry Carpenter, he said, "Oh my God, he's won the world title and he's 32. Like, being 32 was seen as like you're out of the game.
Yeah, well, I think that's true for a lot of sport, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 God, that's mad.
So before
that point, at that point that he had that game, that match with George Foreman,
yeah,
had he reached that legend status by that point?
This match was the making of legendary Ali, I think.
Okay.
So though he became Muhammad Ali in himself years prior.
Oh, I don't mean by name.
Yes, but Wang Sing is now.
It's quite confusing when he actually did change his name.
Yes, of course. But to the people, as like Ali, you know, this was the match.
Okay.
And we can see it in like the legacy, basically. It was the kind of last thing I wanted to talk to you about. He retired at the age of 40.
Right.
Mad.
That's old.
That's mad. With a ring record of 56 wins and 5 losses.
56 wins and 5 losses, okay.
And his last fight was against a man called Trevor Burbick in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Ali lost.
Okay. 1981. Okay.
Right. So, but you're right. I wanted to talk to you very briefly about like the impact of his fighting. And I didn't know about this, but Muhammad Ali became such... not only like a celebrity and a world-renowned kind of sports person. This is crazy. I had no idea this happened. There's another fact that I want to talk about.
Okay.
And I find this crazy because I had no idea this happened. But in the 90s, such was his profile, I guess, and his world-renowned fame, he helped the US government release hostages from Iraq.
Right, okay.
He went to Iraq himself,
of
his own accord. I mean, definitely, as you don't do.
No, not usually. And especially someone with that profile.
Yeah.
As well.
And he helped negotiate the release of those of 15 hostages. He did that. 15 hostages were released.
I wonder how that sort of went about.
What happened there?
Yeah, what happened there?
He was really close with President Jimmy Carter. Yes.
So when it was invaded by Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he lit the Olympic flame in the 1994 Olympic Games in Atlanta.
Right.
And the scale of the crowd's audible gasps and screams and tears kind of solidified his status as a figure of kind of Black American freedom and so many things.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So that's Muhammad Ali.
That's Muhammad Ali.
So, well done, dear. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Good, I'm glad.
So it was the 1974 match against George Foreman that was kind of catapulted him.
Yes.
Into being Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. And then it was the kind of... using his profile politically that kind of cemented it and gave him that respect.
Yes.
Of the public, I guess. So, yeah, I feel enriched from that information, my dear.
You feel enriched with sports news.
Even just things that I didn't fully know which decade
yeah.
he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stuff like that, I feel like I... now, no. So that's good. Well done, dear. We need to talk about what topic you're going to give me.
Yeah. I changed my mind into what it was going to be. Thought about it recently, and I thought, no, do you know what? The next time, I'm going to go for this. It's something that's very dear to both of our hearts.
Okay.
But I don't think I know as much of its history as I'd like to.
Something that's dear to our hearts, but okay. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Dear to our hearts, but something we don't know is... I mean, I'm immediately assuming food-based.
No, no.
Alcohol-based?
Nope.
Drag queens?
Nope.
Okay, carry on.
I would like you, Katie, to tell me...
yeah?
...all about the birth of radio.
Stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some things about radio...
I want to know.
Radio?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to know the first words ever broadcast on the radio.
Okay.
I want to know the first record ever played on the radio.
Okay.
And I want to know... I know Marconi invented the radio. I want to know more about him too.
Okay.
It's the birth of radio.
I have a first-class honours degree in radio production. I'm also a radio producer by trade. I should be able to do this. I'm already nervous about it, more so than any other one that we've done.
Yes!
It's going to be great.
Wonderful, then.
Well done, everybody.
Tune in your podcasts and listen to this.
Dial in.
Dial in.
FM 103, Be More Cleverer.
This will be on the transistor.
Set your frequency modulator, my darlings. That's what FM stands for.
This is
Forget about it.
This is Bowden calling. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Out.
Het leukste cadeau voor de decembermaand komt van Apple en KPN. Want de iPad heeft KPN nu voor maar €379. Appeltje KPN dus. Ga snel naar de KPN-winkel en je hebt hem direct in huis. En dat is dan weer appeltje eitje.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.